The program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Carla Howell. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Carla Howell.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm Carla Howell, political director for the Libertarian Party in Washington, D.C. On this show, we feature libertarian candidates running for office to make your life better and to keep America prosperous, safe, and at peace. Today, we have two distinguished libertarian candidates on the show. On the second half of the hour, you'll hear from Bill Redpath, libertarian running for Congress in Virginia's 10th District. But first, we'll talk with Ken Krawchuk, the libertarian for governor running in Pennsylvania. Ken Krawchuk has run for this office before, in 1998 and in 2002. He has run as a libertarian for U.S. representative, for state representative, and for Abington Town Commissioner. He's an award-winning member of Toastmasters International and a guest newspaper columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. His novel, Atlas Snubbed, presents the political concept, the separation of society and state, which is a central theme of his campaign. A computer programmer since 1970, he is the founder and president of Ken Krawchuk & Associates, an information technology consulting firm. He holds 3 U.S. patents. He received a B.S. degree from St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia and is a graduate of the Abington Citizens Police Academy. His website is kenk.org. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Carla. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me today.
Well, a pleasure to have you on. So, could you tell us what this theme of your campaign and also the subject of your book is about, the separation of society and state?
Well, Carla, right now about 80% of Pennsylvania's budget and about 60% of the federal budget is dedicated to various giveaway programs. And the dollar amount goes up all the time. In fact, virtually every federal dollar of revenue that comes in the door goes out the door in terms of welfare state payments. Unless we come up with a way to end the welfare state as we know it, it's going to eventually bankrupt us. And the solution, as I see it, is the separation of society and state. What that entails is taking all of these well-meaning programs to help the poor and the disadvantaged and to move them out of government and into the free marketplace where they belong. Specifically, I would call for the creation of a new organization called Society, which would not have the coercive power of taxation. So they could have their own Social Security program, but they would have to ask for donations to fund it. So that's the basic idea, is that we would have a voluntary organization to help those people who need the help, the disadvantaged, but to do it on a disciplined level so that nobody falls between the cracks. We'll be able to keep the safety net, but not hold a gun to everybody's head to pay for it.
Well, that sounds very pleasant, a nice way to do things.
I agree.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Now, tell me some of the specific proposals that you will put before the legislature and work to pass if elected governor of Pennsylvania.
Well, Carla, one thing that I'm focusing on are those things that the governor in Pennsylvania can do unilaterally without the assistance of the legislature or the courts. That way you can have an impact. I could have an impact directly and improve the lives of Pennsylvanians. And I'm focusing on 3 primary areas. And the first one, of course, is the area of taxes. Everyone is overtaxed. In fact, in Pennsylvania, the cost of government has been rising at more than 3 times the rate of inflation for over 50 years. It doesn't matter if it's a Democrat in there or a Republican. It doesn't matter if it's the high inflation rate of the Carter era or low inflation that we have today. The direction is up at more than 3 times the rate of inflation. And by the way, Governor Corbett's latest budget, I must admit, it does not raise the cost at three times the rate of inflation. It's four times the rate of inflation. Well, when I'm governor, that trend will end. Using the powers granted to the governor by the Constitution, I promise I will veto every single tax increase. That will hold the line on taxes. I also have the line item veto, so I can go through and eliminate pork barrel spending, unconstitutional spending, self-serving spending. So not only can I hold the line on taxes, I will be able to reduce taxes. Now, the way government's been growing, for back in 1964, 50 years ago, Pennsylvania government took roughly $100 per person. Today, that number is over $2,300 per person. If it had tracked with inflation, it should be really about $600-$700 in around there. So by voting libertarian, what I want to do is get you back that $1,600 difference, that $1,700 difference that the Democrats and Republicans have taxed away from you by growing government at more than three times the rate of inflation. Carla, what could you do with another $1,600 a year coming back to you? Think of the vacation you could have with that.
So taxes, sounds good to me.
Yeah, me too. So reducing the size and cost of government is the main push of my campaign. And also by separating society and state, by offloading a lot of these social programs off to society, that will also help reduce the cost of government as well. So that's my biggest issue is taxes. The second one is crime. And again, I'm focusing on something that the governor can do unilaterally. And I have a two-pronged approach to defeating crime. The Commonwealth Foundation here in Pennsylvania has found that 95% of the crimes are committed by only 5% of the criminals. So using the power of the governor, there is something I can do which is guaranteed to reduce crime, and that is to eliminate parole for violent criminals. Carla, I think it's insane to let these guys out of jail, especially once we get them in there through our convoluted criminal justice system. Well, when I'm governor, they will serve every single day of their sentence. And since 95% of crimes are committed by only these 5% of the criminals, we are guaranteed to reduce crime. Wouldn't it be great to have safer streets at night, not worry about your kids being out playing around, because you know that these bad guys are going to be in jail serving out their entire term?
Yeah. Well, I would think this is especially true in inner Philadelphia and parts of Pittsburgh. And, of course, crime can happen anywhere in the state, but there's places where where the victim rate is particularly high.
That's true. This is guaranteed to reduce that crime rate. But, you know, I have had criticism for this, and one of the main criticisms I hear is that people ask me, oh, what are you going to do? Can build new prisons? Where are you going to put all these guys if they're going to serve every day of their term? No, Carla, it doesn't work that way, because right now there are people in jail who do not belong there, and I'm talking specifically about nonviolent drug users. We have right now in Pennsylvania, 17% of our prison population are there for drug-related offenses. Again, using the power the Constitution grants to the governor, I can do something about this. I am promising on day one that I will pardon every single nonviolent drug offender. Now, of course, if they dealt drugs to kids or if they robbed somebody, they're going to stay safely in jail. But if they were just kicking back, smoking a joint, watching The Simpsons, and got busted, they've got to get out of jail free card from this governor. It's something that we have to do, because right now our prisons are overcrowded in Pennsylvania. In fact, they're so overcrowded, they have prison caps. And these caps are so onerous that we're now releasing murderers and rapists from our overcrowded prisons to make room for pot-smoking Grateful Dead fans. Carla, that's insane. Why are we doing this? It's costing over $30,000 a year to keep a pot smoker in prison. And while I'm out on the campaign trail, I always ask the crowd, I say, how many of you know somebody who smokes pot? Virtually every hand goes up. I say, how many of you think pot smokers belong in prison? I have yet to see a single hand go up this year. This is a libertarian issue. It's always been a libertarian issue, and finally, the country is starting to come around on it.
It is, and it's so refreshing to hear not only you say it credibly, but just knowing that when people hear these things today, they no longer cringe, they no longer buy into this, you know, get tough on drugs, send the wrong message, kind of rhetoric that we've been hearing for years, it just is not ringing true for most people anymore. I think Americans are finally seeing the light on this.
That's very true. And, you know, I was at the Philadelphia Inquirer editorial board yesterday, meeting with the editorial board looking for an endorsement. And I told them when I ran in 2002, I had all of these cutting-edge political ideas, like ending the drug war, like supporting all varieties of marriage, whether it's gay marriage, hetero marriage, or whatever it may be. And today, these, what used to be unusual opinions, they're now common sense opinions, and the whole country is coming around to these sorts of things. We libertarians have always been far ahead of the curve. So here we are again ahead of the curve on new things like the separation of society and state, ways to defuse the abortion crisis, nullifying bad federal laws, all sorts of things we libertarians are ahead of the curve on. And all of these things make for a peaceful, more rich America. It's good to be part of it. I love being a libertarian.
Well, it sounds great. And I would think that to a lot of people who don't identify as libertarian at this point in time would hear the things you're saying and say, you know, it makes a lot of sense, and I agree with that.
Well, it has to make sense. It's just common sense. For example, I'll go into a school and I will ask the students, I'll ask them, how many of you think you have the right to live your life your way without interference, provided you respect the rights and property of others? Carla, every hand in the room goes up, and I smile and I say, you're all libertarians. Because that is the definition of a libertarian, somebody who lets other people live their lives their own way as long as they don't harm others. The golden rule on a political level.
Yes, that's a nice way of putting it. The golden rule on a political level. I like that.
Thank you. I always try and say that especially to the students, because as you just said a moment ago, it's common sense. We libertarians have always been the party of common sense, the party of peace, party of free minds, free markets. And I'm happy to see the public coming around. You know, we here in Pennsylvania, we are, well, matter of fact, nationally, we are the third largest party, hands down, and we outnumber all the other third parties put together. That's true in terms of registered voters. It's true also in terms of people serving in public office. We have about 40 people serving in public office here in Pennsylvania, and I think about 150 nationwide. You could probably fill me in on the latest number there.
But I think it's a little higher, but it's in that range.
Okay, but again, it outnumbers all the other third parties put together.
Yeah.
On the political scene, I call us libertarians the 800-pound chihuahua. And we're growing.
We are growing, and that's a wonderful way to end this segment of the program. We're going to be right back with you, Ken Krawchuk, after the break. We are talking with Ken Krawchuk, libertarian running for governor in Pennsylvania. He aims to separate society and state, and by that I believe he means let's remove the coercion from government. Let's
Correct.
Have a voluntary society, and we know this will work because we know the free market works better than government does by a very long shot. Ken Krawchuk's website is kenk.org. Be sure to visit the Libertarian Party website, lp.org, and please consider joining the Libertarian Party and help us work for you. You can get as active as you want, meet great libertarians in your area, and learn ways that you can get involved. Help us help you. Help us downsize big government and make you more prosperous and free. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Carla Howell. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Carla Howell.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We're talking with Ken Krawchuk, the Libertarian candidate running for governor in Pennsylvania. His website is kenk.org. Ken, could you tell us your thoughts on education and what you as governor would do in this area?
Well, Carla, education is, of course, one of the most important things. And sometimes I feel that we made a mistake by leaving it to government, because government is not always the best purveyor of these things. When you look at the statistics here in Pennsylvania, roughly 95% of the kids here go to the same school system, the government school system. Well, that means it's a virtual monopoly. And like any monopoly, costs are high, the choice is low, and the quality, well, it's not always the best, especially when you get into the inner cities. What I want to do, my main legislative initiative, is I want to end the government monopoly on education. And I have a couple different ways I'd like to do that. The first way to do it is to introduce competition. And the best way to introduce competition is to bring somebody into the equation who has been missing for far too long, and that's the parents. Specifically, what I would like to see, I would like the parents to be able to choose any government school for their child, and the funding, which would have followed, which would have gone to the local school, will follow the child to the school of the parent's choice. That way, good schools get more funding and grow. And bad schools, well, they lose funding and they'll be forced to shut down. Now, when I say good and bad, I don't mean good in my opinion, or some teacher's opinion, or the unelected Board of Education in Harrisburg, or some out-of-state Common Core curriculum. I'm not talking about any of those opinions. I'm talking about the opinion of the person who matters the most, the parents. Whatever school the parents think are good, they're the ones that are going to get the most funding. So for the same educational dollar we're spending today, we can improve the education for our kids. Parents won't be trapped in bad school systems, especially in the ones in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Some of the schools there are just horrendous. And they actually make it a crime for parents to send their kids to another school. Well, I don't want to persecute parents or prosecute parents. I want the parents to be able to choose the best possible schools for their kids. Now, I've gotten criticism for that because some people say, oh, you're going to close down my neighborhood school because it's no good. It's like, well, no, not actually. Well, yes and no. What's going to happen when people choose a good school system is that that school is going to fill up. And once it's too full, that school can now take over the closed school and use the same techniques that made them such a popular school and employ those in the school that was closed down. So that way, the neighborhood school, which used to be a bad school, will be taken over by the good schools, and we will improve the quality of education, not just individually for kids, but for whole neighborhoods. And that way, everybody is the winner, including the kids. And that's really what education is all about. So that's the first step. That's the easy step. And just by allowing parents to choose their own school district, Arizona already does this, so it's not that outside of a concept. We should be doing it here in Pennsylvania, too.
Well, it sounds really great, and I can't imagine a parent not liking the idea. I mean, you see how they scramble when there's choices in some states, often very limited choices, and they have to they have to win a lottery or wait in a long line. But parents are generally scrambling for an alternative. They're desperate for alternatives.
That's right, especially in some of the cities around here. This gives them that alternative. I also have a better alternative. This one can actually cut your property taxes dramatically, cut them in half. Let me tell you how that would work. Right, I called all of the local schools, the private schools in my neighborhood. I'm in southeastern Pennsylvania, just north of Philadelphia, Abington Township. And I was calling every one of them, asking them what they charge per year. I was getting numbers, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, in that range. Some of the exclusive schools, like the Friends School or Germantown Academy, they were charging about $25,000 a year. Well, ignoring the exclusive schools, I found the average was about $9,000 a year. What I did then was I took the Abington School District budget, divided it by the number of students, and Carla, we are spending in Abington Township over $18,000 a kid versus private school, which is charging an average of $9,000 a kid. What that means is that if we privatize the schools, if we let the school board just place the kids in local private schools, we could cut property taxes in half overnight. How many thousands of dollars does the average homeowner pay in taxes, in property taxes? What happens if all of a sudden now they have a couple thousand dollars more, and they're getting a better education because their kids are now going to private school? This is the sort of approach I'd like to see.
Well, that sounds like a great alternative and a transformative improvement over what a lot of parents and kids are stuck with today. You know, when you're talking, it's kind of horrifying to me because you and I, Ken, have been politically active with the Libertarian Party for some time. And mm-hmm. I remember not so long ago when we were aghast at the fact that average per pupil costs had risen to $10,000 and gotten above $10,000, had gotten up to $11,000 and $12,000, and oh my God, how high is it going to go? And now $18,000, and you're not even in the inner city where tend to have highest cost per pupil. It's just, how is this, and then Obamacare comes up. How are people going to survive with these just tremendous high costs coming down on family budgets all the time?
I know. That's why we're lucky we have libertarians around to lead the way to say this is the direction we should be going in. And, you touched upon Obamacare. I have to tell you, I have an insurance agent license, and I'm very, very familiar with the insurance business. And I went out to Obama's website, the Obamacare website. They are charging roughly 2 to 3 times the premium that you could get if you just went to an independent insurance agent. I don't know who's making money off of this, but it's not the American consumer.
But that's for sure.
That's just an aside, Obamacare is a ripoff.
Yeah, it is. It's got to end, and hopefully it will end. And hopefully libertarians running this year, a number of Republicans are saying they're going to repeal it, but then they take the Mitt Romney line of repeal and replace. In other words, let's just replace it with another big government Romneycare or some other program.
And you don't watch these things. There's one thing is governor of Pennsylvania that I'm watching out for, and that's something most people don't realize, is that Medicaid is not a grant. It is a loan. So that we're seeing cases here in Pennsylvania where somebody's got a family farm, and let's say the husband gets ill, and Medicaid will step in and help with some of the bills. Well, when he passes away, it turns out Medicaid does something called estate recovery, where they lien the estate for all of the costs that they gave for medical care, and they wind up having to sell the family farm. So just a warning to people, don't be too quick to accept free help of Medicaid from the government, because they'll try and get that money back from your estate once you pass away.
Now, that's something I hadn't heard, and I think I want to look into that more, because that's treacherous. So we've got a few more minutes here. Tell us, is there any other issues that you're running on or ways in which you will work to shrink government if you are elected governor of Pennsylvania?
Well, I'll work on it in every way I can. The best part is the line item veto. I have my eyes set on a couple of things. One of them is that our state police are maintaining an illegal registry of gun owners. I will certainly defund that. Another thing I'm going to keep an eye on are the sheriffs in Pennsylvania. The governor is permitted to remove a sheriff for cause if a sheriff is not doing his job, ignoring the Constitution, or whatever it is. And guess who it is who selects the replacement, the governor. So I figure I can keep a good eye on the sheriffs to make sure that a lot of these federal alphabet soup agencies don't overstep their authority when they come into the state. But another thing I'd like to do, I would like to see better communication, especially if I could just talk to the libertarians for a moment. Probably one of the most important things that any libertarian could do, or any individual, is to join Toastmasters International. For those who don't know, Toastmasters International is an organization whose mission is to provide a supportive environment for learning public speaking and leadership skills. Most people would be terrified to do an interview like this, maybe even to call into a call-in show. But Toastmasters is a supportive environment where you can learn public speaking. I used to be a quiet geek. I was afraid to talk to people. I used to get asthma attacks if I tried to talk in public. Now here I am running for governor of Pennsylvania. We libertarians have the best message on the planet: freedom, liberty, prosperity. But that message is useless if we can't communicate it. So I would encourage everybody to join Toastmasters.
It's a good idea, and you're right. We have the best product in on the planet. I don't know anything better than liberty, not only because of the direct benefits of lower taxes and more freedom and more justice, but the indirect benefits of in that every business, every charity, every good thing on earth operates better when government is much smaller and out of the way.
That is true. You can't argue that one at all.
Now, can you tell us, we just have a couple minutes here, can you tell us, not even that, can you tell us something about what's going on with ballot access in Pennsylvania, which has been such a hot issue?
Oh, it's awful. Our Constitution says all elections shall be free and equal, but Governor Corbett, when he wants to get his name on the ballot, he needs 2,000 signatures. I need 16,639. Even though
wow.
the Constitution says they should be equal. And Carla, it's worse than
wow.
that. In every one of the last six statewide elections, we have been challenged in court. We've had people thrown off the ballot, people fined $80,000 for having tried to get on the statewide ballot. It's just horrendous here in Pennsylvania. I'm currently the plaintiff on two lawsuits to try and have this overturned. There was a third back in 2006, but we lost that. A judge says, oh, no, 67,000 signatures equals 2,000. But we're looking to fix that as best we can. We're also putting together software so we can withstand a challenge. I'm expecting a challenge this year. The Republican governor, he found that if there's a libertarian in the race this year, he loses. If there's not, he might win. So we're expecting them to challenge our petitions. But we're ready. We have the software in place. We have the volunteers in place. We have procedures in place.
That's great. And Pennsylvania, so far, we staved off the attack against our presidential candidate in 2012, Governor Gary Johnson, successfully.
Yes.
So let's do it again. We need support for anyone who can help the Pennsylvania libertarians get on the ballot, in particular Ken Krawchuk, our guest, running for governor. So please help our libertarians in that state. They need your help so we can go in there and go toe-to-toe with these big government Democrats and Republicans. Ken, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Carla. And there's more information about our petition drive and getting on the ballot at my website, kenk.org.
Very good. That's Ken Krawchuk, the libertarian running for governor in Pennsylvania. As he points out, his website, kenk.org. Please visit and support him. Help him help you downsize big government. He's one of hundreds of libertarians who will be on the ballot this year in America who are working for you to make you more free, more prosperous, and more safe. Check out the Libertarian Party at lp.org, and please consider joining the Libertarian Party. Help us help you. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Carla Howell. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
In today's society, there is just too much competition. Women are taking on the same roles as men. They're working side by side, competing for the same positions. What is happening? This is transferring to how men and women feel about each other and relationships. We're delaying marriages or not even getting married at all. It's time to go back to basics. Listen for this groundbreaking show with host Naftali Schwartz. But it's not really that groundbreaking. It's just a new way of looking at things. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Emotional intelligence has been documented to be the most important skill for a leader to move up in an organization. Leader's Playbook will unpack what emotional intelligence is, why it is important, and how you can raise your emotional intelligence for yourself, your direct reports, and your teams. Join Dr. Relly Nadler every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, to the Leader's Playbook on the Voice America Business Channel. Your success could depend on it.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments at lp.org. Here again is Carla Howell.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You, featuring Libertarian candidates running for office this year who are working to make your life better and to keep America prosperous, safe, and free. For the second half of our show, we'll bring on Bill Redpath, a Libertarian running for U.S. Representative, of Virginia's 10th Congressional District. He was a Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senator in 2008, and he has run for Virginia House of Delegates, the Virginia Senate, and for Governor of Virginia. He has served two terms as the National Chair for the Libertarian Party, and he is a key contributor to the party's ballot access in states across the country. He is a certified public accountant and vice president of a financial consulting firm in media and telecommunications. He graduated from the Indiana University and has an MBA from the University of Chicago. His website, redpath2014.com, will be launched this month. Bill Redpath, welcome to the show.
Carla, thanks for having me.
Wonderful to have you on. So please give us an idea, as you embark on this congressional campaign, what we should look forward to and what will be the focus of your campaign?
I think the focus of the campaign is going to be the issue of economic freedom in the United States, because that's going to be, although won't be stated quite as bluntly by particularly Democratic politicians, they are going to, I think, be running on the issue of income inequality. I know that's coming down the pike. The minimum wage, wanting to increase that. Basically, they won't say that they want to undertake new policies that are going to further restrict the economic freedom of Americans, but that is in fact what they want to do. And what I want to point out is that the United States, in two well-known surveys, used to rank second in the world as late as 2000, just behind Hong Kong in terms of economic freedom. We are falling. We are now down, I believe we're number 12 in one and number 19 in another, but regardless, we've fallen below number 10. This has happened since the year 2000, and less economic freedom means less prosperity in the long run. If you break the nations of the world into quartiles, those that are most economically free have the highest per capita income, and then it's down, down, down. And the United States, ostensibly the land of the free, is slowly but surely having its economic freedom eroded. And it's going to be about adopting the federal government, adopting more free market economic policies for the long-run prosperity of the people of the United States.
So if you're a person who cares about the poor, then economic freedom should be very high on your list of priorities.
Absolutely. This is one of the reasons I'm opposed to the minimum wage or any minimum wage above zero, because, and not that I don't want people to live good, prosperous lives. I do. But the minimum wage is simply a bad idea that eliminates. And some people, some supporters of the minimum wage over the years, by the way, know exactly the economic effect and have wanted to restrict competition in labor markets. And the problem is that by setting the minimum wage too high, they are harming the people they are intending to hurt by overpricing labor in the labor market. And people can't get their first jobs, can't begin to work up the economic ladder if they're priced out of their beginning job. That's what the minimum wage does for a lot of people.
So if you're somebody who graduated or maybe didn't graduate from high school, or maybe a mom returning to the workforce who never had a high-paying job, these are some of the people who are hurt by a minimum wage law?
Well, exactly, but not just that. Most of the minimum wage, there are very few heads of households who actually earn the minimum wage. They tend to be younger people. Some are from very affluent households. And I remember my first job, I was paid the minimum wage. Back in 1974, I was paid $2 an hour. But that first job, which was working at a commercial radio station in my hometown of Findlay, Ohio, frankly, I would have done it for 10 cents an hour. I mean, it allowed me to develop some skills that have served me well in many ways through the rest of my life. And if that minimum wage had been $8 an hour or $10 an hour at the time, or even $5 an hour, you know, maybe they would have said, yeah, maybe it would be better if this radio station were automated as opposed to having, you know, somebody live on the air. So you begin displacing people, and for businesses to look for ways to try to cut costs when you set the minimum wage too high.
So what, obviously you are going to vote against any minimum wage law if you are elected to Congress. Do you have any other plans with respect to actions you would take regarding the minimum wage?
Well, I would try to repeal the federal minimum wage. I mean, it's up to the states. If they want to take action in that, that is within their rights within the U.S. Constitution. I would strongly advise them against doing so. And if I were running for the Virginia legislature or a member of the Virginia legislature, I would vote against such legislation. But I do think the federal minimum wage ought to be repealed.
Oh, that sounds very good. So you would be willing to sponsor a bill to repeal the minimum wage or vote? That's awesome. You know, there is, as you say, this is going to be a big issue this year. You can tell the Democratic Party is really working to make it their main talking point for the year. And it's, unfortunately, they're succeeding so far with public opinion, approval ratings still pretty high. They also won several ballot initiatives on this last year, although at least one lost that I know of. But we need to counter that. We need to show people that this really is not what it appears to be. It's something that hurts the poor.
Right. Well, I remember an interview that was done with Ed Crane in Liberty Magazine years ago, and he said, quote, "We vote on too much," unquote. Now, we're going to have a democracy, but that is a very trenchant statement, in my opinion, that we vote on too much. Really, what gives everybody the right to decide what an agreement is going to be between a business and an individual being employed by that business? I mean, that in and of itself, that concept begins to restrict liberty right there. But then when you actually implement policies that harm the poor, that will price them out of the labor market, many of these people, again, I want people to be employed and to earn a good wage, but at the end of the day, it depends on the worker's productivity and the skills they bring to their job, and by forcing a certain minimum wage, again, it's going to have a negative impact on the people with lowest skills in the workforce.
You know, I think that's very well said, and what you said earlier as well, I think you were referring to what we used to, the word apprenticeship, you don't hear spoken very much anymore, but I think that's what you were describing with your college experience, that apprenticeship is extremely valuable to the worker, and, you know, we all need to learn skills when we first come out of school or enter the job force, and so this is a way to do it. A lot of people are willing to do it for free. They're willing to do it for half the minimum wage, because they get benefit from it. They get a training. I mean, it's, you know, people are willing to go to school and pay thousands and thousands of dollars and incur huge amounts of debt. Why wouldn't they want to avoid that, get a little bit of money, even if below the minimum wage, and get an education from it?
Right. I understand the thinking, I think I do anyway, among people who want a higher minimum wage. Well, that person deserves such and such. But really, it's not their call. It's not their place to decide who deserves what when they're not involved in the transaction, when it's not their money involved in the transaction. If they want to go to a store that is going to charge them higher prices because they are paying higher wages to their workers and they do so voluntarily, fine. That certainly is libertarian. But again, I just think that there's some free lunch mentality, I think, involved in people who think the minimum wage should be higher when they don't think through all the ramifications as to higher prices and even higher prices being paid by the poor for products and services, the people they want to help.
That's a good point. In fact, I heard that the people who patronize Walmart are about at the same income level as the people who work at Walmart. So if you force Walmart to raise its wages, you're going to force all the people who buy at Walmart to pay more.
Exactly. Exactly. That is, and it's inevitably going to happen. You cannot repeal the laws of economics. I understand the good wishes that people intend through minimum wage legislation for those who are less fortunate in our society. But again, you've got to think through all the ramifications.
Would you agree it's also not fair to the small business person? I mean, a lot of these people are making less than minimum wage, and they also had to mortgage their house or whatever they had to start a business and put themselves at great financial risk. They're a first-year startup. They're working 60, 80, 100 hours a week. They're dog-tired. And then the government tells them they can't hire someone for below a so-called minimum wage. And now they're stuck having to work even more hours for lower pay.
Yeah, I have not been an entrepreneur in my life. I salute those people. I remember a conversation I had once with my late uncle, who was an architect in Colorado Springs. And he said to me one time on the phone, just a very short sentence that cut right to the heart of the matter. He said, "Bill, you never had to meet a payroll." And it just, that stopped me right there, and I already had free market leanings. But there is a tremendous responsibility undertaken by people employing others who are starting new businesses, who are taking huge risks, changing their lives, maybe quitting their job to take a real risk. And I think that entrepreneurship is something that is underappreciated in our society.
I think that's a great point. Thank you so much. We're talking with Bill Redpath, the Libertarian, running for Congress in Virginia's 10th District. His website launching later this month is redpath2014.com. Please be sure to visit lp.org, the Libertarian Party website, and consider joining the party. Help us work for you. Help candidates like Bill Redpath help you and your family and your community. And get involved. You can meet all kinds of great libertarians in your area and learn ways that you can help. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Carla Howell. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Living your best life isn't just about fitness and health. It's also about living a better life emotionally and creating balance. You know where you want to be, but what steps do you take to get there? Listen to Good Health for a Great Life with host Rick Barnabo. We'll bring you guest experts and tools to help you connect the dots from who and where you are to who and where you want to be. It's time to take responsibility for your life. Listen every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments at lp.org. Here again is Carla Howell.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We're talking to Bill Redpath, the Libertarian running for Congress in Virginia's 10th District. Bill, can you tell us your take on taxes? What will you do if you're elected to the U.S. Congress?
Well, I first of all want lower government spending. That's the real cost of government to a society is government spending. And so we'll get to that if we have time, because I certainly want to undertake great reductions in federal spending, not just the mild increases that the Republicans want. But in any event, but as far as changing our tax system, we've got to greatly simplify our tax system. I mean, I'm a certified public accountant in Virginia, although I actually don't work as an accountant in my job. I use skills that I learned as an accountant. But believe me, I deal with taxes. I do my own taxes, and it's a total headache. Our tax system is inefficient. It is too complicated. We have double taxation of corporate dividends. We have gift and estate taxes that are very complicated to administer and have a deleterious effect on people's ability to accumulate wealth for themselves and their descendants. We need, in my opinion, we need a greatly simplified tax system. The one I prefer and think is the most workable is a flat tax, which would have basically after a generous exemption to make sure that the poor are not on tax rolls, to make sure the family can make ends meet before they begin paying taxes, to have one flat rate, do away with deductions and various tax credits, and also do away with the double taxation of dividends and capital gains. That's the best thing we can do right now to get this economy moving again.
Okay. So let's talk more about this. And this includes, or is this a separate from your proposal to actually eliminate the corporate income tax?
Well, with the flat tax, actually, there would be an individual tax and there would be a business tax. But because business profits would be, and they would be taxed at the same rate, by the way, and I'm actually, I like the Hall-Rabushka flat tax, and that's what is called for in their flat tax. But then the profits, after they've been taxed at the business level, then they flow to the owners tax-free. So people would no longer be double taxed on capital gains. I mean, as Steve Forbes once put it, once through the system and it's yours. And I think that is a goal of any tax system, would be to stop the third time taxed through gift and estate taxes. We need to stop this tax it and then tax it again and then tax it again mentality that we have in our current tax code.
And this, no doubt, creates perverse incentives, not to mention a tremendous amount of bookkeeping imposed on the people who have to pay these taxes.
Absolutely. When you have an IRS commissioner state that he does not do his own taxes because the system is too complicated, I think that says it all. It says the system is broken, and it needs to be greatly simplified, but it needs to be simplified in a way that it encourages savings and investment and entrepreneurship, which all of that is key to a prosperous society.
Okay, so this will encourage savings, investment, and entrepreneurship. Tell us more about why that would be true under your plan.
Because of low tax rates. That's, and also because individuals would not be taxed on dividends, would not be taxed on capital gains. And also one key provision of the Hall-Rabushka flat tax is that capital expenditures are expensed in the year they are made, not depreciated over a complicated tax schedule over many years, 5, 7, 10 buildings, 31 and a half years, that's in the Internal Revenue Code. So you would help spur investment, which helps spur productivity by businesses and their workers by allowing businesses to expense capital expenditures on their tax form in the year that the expenditure is made and not depreciated over many years.
So under your proposal, would you expect a lot fewer people would be dependent on accountants or software or some other tool to get their taxes filed?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the, I know there are a lot of computer people in the Libertarian Party and or libertarians generally, but unfortunately, one of the downsides of this, of tax software is that they've made doing taxes easier, and but that doesn't take away the economic disincentives from the high marginal tax rates and also the various deductions. I mean, the various deductions and credits that special interests have gotten from the tax code are very inefficient for the economy, and where special interests come in and have manipulated the tax code through acts of Congress to benefit themselves. But I say get rid of all that, lower tax rates, make things better for everyone.
So I assume your goal here, or tell me if I'm wrong, your goal is to reduce the total amount of revenue being collected? Are you trying to drive down taxes?
Or? I think we should balance the budget, but the way you're going to balance the budget is by cutting expenditures. That's the way we've got to go. So what I would say is that if you cut expenditures enough, then you can reduce taxes, and I would certainly want to reduce the tax rate with the flat tax to something as low as possible. Now, I think Hall-Rabushka last proposed a tax rate of 19%. It's whatever it's whatever will balance the budget, but the way you would achieve that would be through spending reductions.
Okay, so today to balance the budget, we're talking about nearly $1 trillion in annual spending. Can you tell us how we would do this? Where would we cut spending? How can we do it?
Well, I would just say this, rather than rattle on about it, I think politicians don't have to have a single original idea. They just have to choose wisely among the ideas that are floating around out there. And I like the specific cuts on downsizinggovernment.org, which is from the Cato Institute. It's online, and they go department by department and add up hundreds of billions of dollars per year. Might be over $1 trillion. I need to add it up again myself, but it would be hundreds of billions of dollars per year from federal government agencies that are doing things they just shouldn't be doing. And but particularly the Department of Education should be eliminated. It's not in the Constitution. It hasn't added anything to American education over its existence going back to the 1970s. The Department of Housing and Urban Development has been a hotbed of corruption, frankly, over the years. And I think elimination of that alone would be a, you know, someplace in the ballpark of, I believe, $80 billion a year savings. I think you've got to end corporate welfare. You've got to end farm subsidies. And I mean immediately. Corporate welfare is over $100 billion a year from the federal government going to subsidize corporations. The Farm Bill recently was panned by the Wall Street Journal and all sorts of publications and individuals. So there's a lot there. But the main thing is entitlements. Now we're up to the point where 51% of the expenditures of the federal government last year were transfer payments. Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid. We have to do something about the entitlements with Social Security. I think that we should adopt the Cato Institute 6.2% plan for Social Security to allow younger people to opt out of Social Security, waive their future benefits, but be able to save on their own. People in Chile can do it. People in Chile love it, and you've got many ordinary people retiring as millionaires under the system in Chile. Why can't we have that in the land of the free? Medicaid needs to be turned into a block grant and phased out over 10 years. It should be the responsibility of the states, and that's how it should be treated. Get the federal government out over a 10-year period, and with Medicare for people who are in need of help during their older years for medicine and medical care, should have some sort of voucher program, and that is the way to go to rein in the expenditures that are, if not curbed soon, are going to lead to some sort of economic catastrophe for this nation over the next 10 to 20 years.
Well, you know, these proposals are tremendously refreshing. We need to hear a lot more of them. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Carla, thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you.
We've been talking with Bill Redpath, a Libertarian candidate running for U.S. House in Virginia's 10th District. His website, launching later this month, is redpath2014.com. The Libertarian Party and its candidates are working to reduce the size, scope, authority, taxation, and spending of big government so that you are safer, more free, and less taxed, so the world is at peace, and so you and every American enjoys the opportunity and prosperity that is possible here in our country. Please visit lp.org, learn more about the Libertarian Party, join us, and help us help you cut your taxes and make government small. That's lp.org. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Carla Howell, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Carla Howell again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.